Numerous interviews and physical evidence led state troopers to arrest a 14-year-old cake boy that they believe is responsible for the death of 13-year-old Mackenzie Howard. That's according to the supervising investigator for the Alaska Bureau of Investigation. Matt Lichtenstein spoke with him Saturday and filed this report.
Lieutenant Rex Leith is the Alaska Bureau of Investigation supervisor on the case. He says they arrested the teenage suspect around 11 Saturday morning after 10 days of collecting evidence and interviews.
We conducted quite a few interviews in the community and also at the scene of the crime found some key pieces of evidence that had different kinds of biological evidence on them. And also when we communicated with the community and identified who we thought could be one of our suspects, we went and contacted that suspect and did end up serving some search warrants at the suspect's residence and acquired more pieces of evidence.
Investigators provided that evidence to the state crime laboratory. Leith says the lab's work and additional information from interviews ultimately led troopers to take the boy into custody. The arrest comes 10 days after a community member found 13-year-old Mackenzie Howard's body in an entryway to Cake Memorial Presbyterian Church late at night on February 5th. Leith says the suspect was compliant and troopers were able to interview him. Leith would not say whether the boy admitted to the crime, but the Bureau is confident he acted alone.
I can tell you that based on the information we collected, as well as the interview, we have what we believe is confirmation that we have the right suspect.
You don't believe anyone else was involved?
No, we do not.
Authorities have not made public the actual cause of Mackenzie Howard's death, but they have treated the case as a homicide from the beginning. The state medical examiner later confirmed it was homicide after an autopsy. State troopers from Juneau and Ketchikan, as well as investigators and crime scene technicians from Anchorage and other communities, went to Cake to work on the case. Because the suspect is a minor, Leith said he could not release his name or the specific charges that are pending against him.
All I can really say is that we have a homicide. And we have one person we believe is responsible for that in our custody now. And so in the adult world, we would assume if someone did that, whether it was accidentally or intentionally, there'd be obviously corresponding crimes we would list there. With a juvenile, while the same elements are there of a crime, it's a little different because a juvenile is goes before a judge and is considered for delinquency, not necessarily the crime that an adult would have been charged with. So it's a little different. Same seriousness, same consideration as far as the state goes, but we can't really put a label on it per se.
Leith says it will be up to the Division of Juvenile Justice to decide whether the charges against the suspect are made public. The boy was being transported to a juvenile justice holding facility and was expected to go before a judge in Ketchikan over the weekend. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.
10 months after the murders of two employees at a Coast Guard communication station on Kodiak Island, an arrest has been made. James Michael Wells of Kodiak was taken into custody Friday on a federal warrant based on a criminal complaint. Brianna Gibbs has more on that story.
On the morning of April 12th of last year, U.S. Coast Guard's electrician's mate first class James Hopkins and retired chief bosun's mate Richard Belisle were found by co-workers shot to death in one of the buildings at the Coast Guard communication station. Belisle was working for the Coast Guard as a civilian contractor at the time, as was the accused Jim Wells. FBI spokesman Eric Gonzalez said the 61-year-old Wells was taken into custody on Friday after a sealed federal arrest warrant was issued. Gonzalez said the complaint, or affidavit, is sealed and will remain so until Wells appears in court, which is expected sometime this week in Anchorage. This means the underlying details and facts leading up to the arrest remain confidential. Gonzalez did not say what the motive in the killings might have been. On Saturday, Wells' wife, Nancy, told the Associated Press that she had full faith in her husband's innocence and none in the quality of the investigation. She declined any further comment. The Kodiak Daily Mirror reported that Richard Belisle's daughter, Amy Belisle, and his wife, Nicola Belisle, were in Anchorage when they learned of the arrest. Amy Belisle told the Mirror she and her mother were overjoyed that finally something had happened. She said the arrest offers a little bit more closure, but also expressed sadness for Wells' family. She said she feels sorry that someone else's family is now going to be torn apart. KTUU-TV contacted Amy's sister, Emily Belisle, on Friday, and reported she was extremely happy about the arrest. Wells' arrest on Friday came after 10 months of investigation, led by the FBI and the Coast Guard Investigative Service, along with Alaska State Troopers. In Kodiak, I'm Brianna Gibbs.
A Grand Aviation flight crashed while landing at the Unalaska Airport on Saturday afternoon. After the apparent collapse of the plane's landing gear, the pilot and two passengers walked away unharmed. In addition to significant damage to the left wing of the plane, Unalaska Fire Chief Abner Hoag says there was a small fuel leak which fire crews quickly contained. The nine-seat Piper PA-31 Navajo was en route from Accutan. Grant Aviation took over the Accutan to Unalaska flights from Penn Air in November. The price of gold is unchanged this morning in New York spot market trading, currently at 1,610 cents an ounce. Silver is up 14 cents this morning in New York spot market trading, currently at $29.94 an ounce. And zinc is down, currently at 96 cents a pound. Governor Sean Parnell says he's pleased the companies pursuing a major natural gas project in Alaska have unveiled details of their plans for the multi-billion dollar project. Parnell told a group in Fairbanks that it's the first time that major energy industry players have selected a pipeline concept together. In a letter to Parnell on Friday, ExxonMobil, BP, ConocoPhillips, and TransCanada said they're looking at a 42-inch diameter pipeline that would carry up to 3.5 billion cubic feet of gas a day. It would have five offtakes along the route. Parnell had set a deadline of Friday for the companies to reveal details of that plan. Alaska Senate Democrats are blasting Republican-led majority for selectively referring bills and legislation to favorable committees. The latest example occurred Friday on the Senate floor when Senate President Charlie Huggins, a Republican from Wasilla, tried to pull a resolution from the Education Committee. Senate Joint Resolution 9 calls for a public vote on an amendment to the state constitution that would allow public funding for private and religious schools. Instead of the Education Committee, Huggins referred the bill to Judiciary and Finance. Anchorage Democrat Bill Welkowski objected, saying the bill plainly deals with education.
We have standing committees that are set up to deal with issues pertaining to their jurisdiction. You can't. This clearly belongs in education. And I would respectfully request that this matter be referred to the Education Committee. Thank you, Mr. President.
Majority Leader John Coghill, who chairs the Judiciary Panel, argued the resolution is more of a legal manner since it would be, or matter, since it would amend the state constitution.
It is an education issue if we get it on a ballot for people to talk about. So the first thing it has to have is a judiciary referral, and then the cost of putting that before the people. The education discussion really doesn't happen until that comes up.
Education Committee Chairman Kodiak Republican Gary Stevens was excused or absent from Friday's floor session. Juneau Senator Dennis Egan, one of two Democrats in the Republican-led majority, was the only member of the caucus to vote against the change in referrals. Democrats say it's not the first bill to receive a selective committee referral. Earlier this week, earlier last week, Coghill's bill defining medically necessary abortions was not referred to the Health and Social Services Committee. And Alaskans marked Elizabeth Paratovich Day on Saturday in honor of the Tlingit woman whose testimony to the territorial legislature helped pass an anti-discrimination act back in 1945. A small crowd gathered at the Alaska State Museum here in Juneau to hear a talk from Barbara Cadiente Nelson, a board member of Sea Alaska Native Corporation and the Douglas Indian Association, as well as a member of the Alaska Native Sisterhood.
Mrs. Paratovich's testimony exemplifies a Tlingit value that our words have spirit and life. They tear down or they build up. Choose them wisely.
Paratovich and her husband Roy were leaders of the Alaska Native Sisterhood and Brotherhood in the 1940s, a time when Native people faced discrimination in housing and from many businesses here in Juneau. In 1988, Alaska Legislature made February 16th Elizabeth Paratovich Day to mark the anniversary of the date that the Anti-Discrimination Act was signed into law.